Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
In our profession, they don't get any better in terms of on-air professionalism and any better off the air in terms of personal relationship than Dave Ennett. My good friend, it's great to have you with us.
Steve, always good to hear your voice. Good being with you.
Okay, let's start with this. David Braun was put in a really difficult position. I won't say impossible because he's doing good things with it, but he's put in a really difficult position. What's allowed him to handle it to this point?
That's a great question. I mean, I had the same thoughts when David was elevated to the position of interim head coach. And, you know, I think, first of all, he's a quality person. He is a good football coach, knows the game. And I think that no matter what your background is, no matter what level you've coached at, I mean, certainly there's a learning curve. He knew there would be, never having coached at the Power 5 level before, let alone coaching in the Big Ten, had never been a head coach before. And, you know, but I think he's very organized. I think he's very detail-oriented, and I also think that he hasn't been afraid to ask for help, and he's got a lot of experience on his coaching staff. So I think it's probably a combination, and it hasn't been a straight line to get from where he started to get to the big win last Saturday, but certainly I think that he's approached it, I think, with the right mindset. No one's promised him anything except that he's the interim head coach for now and kind of see where it goes.
Ben Bryant started at Cincinnati, went to Eastern Michigan, went back to Cincinnati, and now he is a sixth-year player playing for Northwestern. What does he bring to the position that you like?
Well, first of all, some consistency and some continuity. As you know, Steve, that's an area over the last couple of years Northwestern's been lacking. And really, you go back to the 2015 through 2018 seasons when Clayton Thorson started 53 straight games for them.
Right.
And then they did get Peyton Ramsey for the 1 year in 2020 and won the Big Ten West. But otherwise, there's been something of a revolving door at the position, be it because of just inconsistency, because of poor performance, because of injury. It's really been a revolving door. I mean, Hunter Johnson has been the starting quarterback in the opener twice and both seasons, and Hunter came in with, you know, certainly great expectations, transferring in from Clemson. He was a five-star recruit by Clemson and came in and just wasn't successful at Northwestern. That happens sometimes. They've had other guys come in who, for whatever reason, it just didn't pan out. And I think that with Bryant, they've got a guy who's got a lot of experience. You know, he's played in more than 40 games. He's started 20-some-odd games in his career. And I think having that experience and also having a group of receivers who've got some experience around him now. Not that they haven't had good receivers in the past, and some guys like Malik Washington played a lot of football for them and some other guys, but I think that this group now, a couple of transfers, Cam Johnson, A.J. Henning, plus Bryce Kurtz, who's finally healthy, I think that's also helping Bryant a lot.
You know, he's not going to be out there often, but they'll change up with Jack Lausch at quarterback. What does that change up do to the offense for Northwestern?
Well, he certainly gives them another dimension. And it's not unlike, and keep in mind, he's really only played a handful of snaps so far. I mean, maybe
right.
He played a few extra when the game against UTEP was out of hand. But it's not unlike when they were alternating between Kane Coulter and Trevor Siemian or Dan Persa a few years ago, because I think that Lausch gives them that dimension a great mobility, more so than Bryant. Although Bryant, you know, they've run him a little bit, but clearly it's a real strong point for Lausch. A terrific athlete. I know he's got a strong arm. He hasn't really. He's only thrown two or three passes so far this season. He was a terrific baseball player, and was really he was headed to Notre Dame to play baseball, and then Northwestern offered him a football scholarship. Mm-hmm. So you know, he gives them just the ability to move around back there, and also he can make plays with his legs, and so. You know, I just think they'll try to work him in there and certain packages, and it certainly is a nice dimension to be able to add to your offense.
Cam Porter's always been a running back of like, but I also know he's been banged up. What has it meant to them having him healthy again?
That's huge. That's huge. And really, it's the first time this first four games, and especially the last couple of games, really the first time he's looked like the Cam Porter since 2020, since before the injury. He missed all of the 21 season. He was hurt in fall camp that year. Came back last year, but you know, again, they had Evan Hull too. You know, so
right.
Hull kind of took the job and ran with it, and they used Porter sort of as a change of pace type guy. But he is a hard nosed, tough Big Ten running back who also has a pretty quick burst that we hadn't really seen last year. So I think having Cam back there is huge. And they have a young guy by the name of Joseph Heiman II,
yes,
who's got some explosiveness. And I don't know if you had a chance to see the touchdown he scored against UTEP on a screen pass. Yeah. Which the pass went for about 10 yards, and he ran for 75 and outran everybody in an 85-yard touchdown. And he's got great breakaway speed. So, you know, that's kind of a nice 1-2 punch there. And they got some other guys with some experience, like Anthony Tyus III. He hadn't played a whole lot yet on offense. But, yeah, really, I mean, I think Porter being back there, he's a captain. He's got experience. He's been on a winning team. He's been in a Big Ten championship game. I think those things all matter.
What did you see in the last 17 minutes of regulation and overtime that you had not seen before that?
You know, I saw confidence from the offense, which they really haven't had the last few years. I mean, you had the feeling, and this goes back, Steve, to days went well, maybe with Ramsey and certainly with Clayton Thorson and guys like Persa and Mike Kafka in the past, where when Northwestern got the ball, and I could go on, Zach Kustak, you know,
sure.
But you had the feeling they were going to take the ball down the field and score.
Right.
And you haven't really seen that the last few years. It's been kind of like waiting for something to go wrong here, because they would move the ball at times but then stub their toe. Turnovers. Last year, the football team turned it over 31 times. 31 times,
yeah,
in 12 games, and leading to 65 points. I mean, you got no chance. You absolutely have no chance. That's an area where traditionally they had always been very good. I realize Penn State's forte has been taking the ball away, but so far this year they've been pretty good at protecting the football. And I just had the feeling on Saturday, especially with the connection that we saw really for the first time between Ben Bryant and Bryce Kurtz, you just had the feeling they were going to take the ball down the field and score. That's what they did.
I know that when we have to vote for the preseason All Big Ten, we have to pick five in the East and five in the West. And I'll be straight with everybody. I put Bryce Gallagher down as one of my five in the West. That's how highly I think of him and the family tree, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Out of Rainham, Massachusetts. But yep, along with Xander Muller, and then Kenny Soares made a big play in overtime. What are you seeing from the linebackers, and how important are they to what David wants to do on defense?
Well, I mean, they've been huge because, first of all, the front four is a work in progress. you know, they're rotating some guys in there, and they have struggled against the run, and quite frankly did against Minnesota for a good part of that game.
Right.
You know, I mean, that Darius Taylor, number one for Minnesota, is pretty good.
Yeah.
And I mean, you don't get to be Big Ten Freshman of the Week 3 weeks in a row for being unproductive. And so, you know, he had a big game. They ran for a lot of yards, and I think that linebacking core, which, you know, is been a strength for Northwestern in past years, but they also had the. They used to call themselves the Irish Law Firm, you know, with Patty Fisher and the Elder Gallagher and Chris Bergen. You know, those guys, it seemed like Patty was their middle linebacker forever there, right? And then,
right.
And Blake Gallagher and Bergen. And, you know, once those guys moved on and suddenly Bryce Gallagher's in there and he's a young guy, and then they brought in Mueller and Bergen was gone. You know, and they kind of had to redefine themselves a little bit. And Gallagher has made steady progress to the point where I agree with you. I think he's one of the best linebackers in the conference. Buehler is having a terrific year. He had a great game the other night.
He sure did.
And then Soares is a guy who, you know, when they play three linebackers, they're putting him in. They play like just about everybody now, I think, or most teams, you know, they play a lot of 4-2-5, and so they'll take Soares out and put in another defensive back. But, you know, he's a guy with great lateral movement. He's strong. He hasn't played a ton, but he's getting an opportunity to make some plays. And you're right, he did make some the other night, and boy, they needed him too.
Dave, I felt Welsh Ryan Arena is one of the better remodeling jobs I've ever seen. It's a perfect arena for what that university needs. Now the stadium. Are they still on track to level it at the end of the season and then rebuild it?
Well, that's a great question. You know, it's still the plan. They're still planning to proceed, but they still need to go through the regulatory process, and they're getting some opposition. There was a meeting of the Evanston City Council last night. There is a great disagreement going on because they want to hold concerts there. And you know, the plans, I don't know if I think you've seen them, Steve, but the plans are beautiful. I mean, it's really going to be a nice place, kind of along the lines of what they did with Welsh Ryan Arena. They're going to reduce the capacity. You know, this is the smallest school in the Big Ten, and they made basketball a hot ticket and turned that place into what they hoped it would be. And they want to do the same with the football stadium. And so they would reduce it. It'll be smaller. They're trying to make it as neighbor-friendly and community-friendly as they can. Some of the neighbors, though, are objecting. They don't want concerts there, which Northwestern was hoping to hold, and some other events. So they've negotiated down the number of concerts. That was a sticking point. I'm sure those discussions are continuing. Last I've heard, that the plan or the hope is still that after our season ends and the last home game is against Purdue in November, that they'll start tearing the place down and Northwestern will play elsewhere for 2 years. But nothing is definite yet in terms of the timeline because they still need the approval of the city, and that's still kind of, there's still a bunch of hearings to be held, and so that's still to be determined.
Wow. Well, I mean, I don't think the guys at Mustard's Last Stand are complaining. So, I mean.
You know what? That's a landmark there.
And, yes, it is.
There's going to be a stadium there, one way or the other. I mean, they're not going to they're not going to leave Ryan Field standing the way it is and go play somewhere else forever. I mean, they're going to have to do something. It needs to be done. It's been needed for a long time. And the facility, they have beautiful facilities. They build a great athletic complex down on the lakefront, which has been tremendous. And the new Welsh Ryan Arena. The campus is beautiful. Now they need a new football stadium on the site where there is a football stadium. So they, they've got to figure it out and try to get that done. And I think they will. It just may take them a little longer than perhaps they had hoped.
And the last question on that, and overall, Dave, and that deals with, can't they just level it and still negotiate with the city as they build it? I mean, and then you could start figuring out what can and can't go in there?
I've asked that question, and it's, in my mind, because eventually they're going to come to a resolution of this thing. They're not going to not build a new stadium.
Right.
And it wouldn't be – the Evanston Chamber of Commerce came out with a statement yesterday endorsing the plan and say, this is good. I mean, it's going to bring hundreds of millions of dollars to the Evanston economy and jobs and all sorts of things. And why wouldn't you want to do that? And because of that, the city needs it. So eventually it's going to happen. So why not go ahead with the assumption you're going to be playing – somewhere next year, even if you don't get the approval until April, you still can go ahead and be working on the assumption you're going to be elsewhere, and then proceed. And if you end up playing a little longer away from Evanston, then so be it. But you got to get it done, and it is going to be a factor, I think, Steve, in the next, whoever the coach is, whether David Braun ends up getting the job on a permanent basis or whether they go out and try to get a big name coach to come in, whoever they try to hire is going to want to know where he's going to be playing his football games, and recruits are going to want to know, are they going to get to play in a new stadium? So it's a pretty important decision, and it's pretty important that they stay after it and get going on it. And I know the university is trying to expedite it. We'll see what happens. I still think that the plan is that, they're going to be by the winter, and it's a short construction season in Chicago, as you know. they're going to get to work on this thing.
Really missed you at the golf outing in May, and you had great reasons as to why you weren't there. And I'm really looking forward to seeing you on Saturday, Dave.
Yeah, me too. I think this will be fun, and it's been a long time since you guys have been there for football. So it'd be great to see you, Steve, and looking forward to seeing this football team that is coming to Evanston. I've watched them, and I'd say this is one of the better defensive teams I think I've seen in a long time in this conference.
Yeah, they're playing well, but they're going to get challenged on Saturday. Dave, thanks so much. Really appreciate you.
You bet. Good talking to you. We'll see you Saturday.